Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com. Welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you joined us.
As usual, Dr. Linda, it's nice to be with you again this weekend. And we're talking about commitment today. Let me say something, okay?
Okay, you look a little rough.
Well, yeah. I've been working in the yard all morning, okay?
That explains it, yes.
All morning long, and I stopped what I was doing to come in today and do this show.
Because you're committed.
Because I'm committed. Now, I didn't take a shower. That's the problem.
Yeah, I can tell.
Commitments do have their downfalls.
Fortunately, we should take a picture for Instagram because we're not sitting just next to each other.
Good
so
point.
That works for this point, right?
There is, what, a four-foot gap?
So. That's right. That helps today.
Well, speaking of commitment, let me ask you a question. When you were asked to do this program, did you have any trouble making the commitment?
I really had to think about it because of the time, and I did have the passion to do it. I wanted to do it really intensely. I thought this would be a great thing to do, but I did have to think, do I have the time to do this? That's a big part of making a commitment to something.
Right.
And of course, I was all in and committed, and are you asking today because we're going to talk about commitment phobia?
Possibly.
Yeah.
There may be a correlation, I think. There are a lot of people who seem to have problems committing to doing things, and more importantly, committing to a relationship. We're going to look into why so many people seem to have what we call commitment phobia, and how you can identify commitment phobia and what to do about it.
Do you know people like that? I'm thinking of a bunch of people as we're just beginning to talk about the show. So we'll use their examples. We won't name their names,
right,
but we'll use their examples. So the fear of commitment can really paralyze a person, Chris, and that's one of the reasons why we're talking about it. And it can create relationship anxiety when that person begins to think about staying in a relationship long term.
Right.
That's the fear for a lot of people. And while a person may even feel like they love somebody, they might really become afraid if they have to commit to that person as the relationship progresses.
I know people who they haven't married until they are in their late 30s, and they date people, break up, date people, break up. It all centers around the fact that when the relationship gets serious, they bail.
I know. I know somebody right now. I'm thinking about that, and he's in his 40s even, and he just doesn't seem to be able to pull the trigger, even though he's been with this woman for a very long time.
Does this fear of commitment develop because of bad experiences in previous relationships?
You know, it can. Mm-hmm. It can. If a person witnesses bad relationships, they might be fearful that their relationships won't turn out well. I'm thinking about all the people whose parents have divorced.
Right.
And so they watch and they think, well, my parents were, you know, in this great relationship, they were committed to each other, and then they ended up breaking up. So watching that breakdown in your parents' relationship might make you think that maybe your relationship can't be trusted for the long haul. Those two people that love each other don't make it. Don't you think that affects a lot of people in your generation today?
Well, it sets a terrible example. Why would they want to be in a relationship when that happened?
Well, it must be one of the reasons why the cohabitation statistics are just going higher and higher.
Right. Well, what about someone who thought things were going absolutely fine in their relationship, and then they were blindsided by a breakup? I would imagine that would probably make someone afraid of a future commitment.
That's happened to one of my friends, and actually a few other people that I know. They were really blindsided, like you said, by the fact that they were breaking up. One day they were served divorce papers and didn't even see that coming.
Wow.
And they found out that their spouse was unfaithful or engaging what we might call nefarious behavior.
Right.
It's a big word, but just it's a little shaky behavior, right? And when that happens, it's devastating. So let's talk about a few signs to look for ahead of time. Maybe we can warn people of things that they can look for in order to avoid somebody who might be commitment phobic. And these should raise a few red flags that things aren't going too well.
Well, we do have 10 signs that serve as warnings that someone may be commitment phobic. So let's start with number one. Their past relationships are short and noncommittal, sort of like what I said a minute ago. They have a history of not sticking it out in other relationships.
That sign is one you really want to pay attention to when you're getting into a serious relationship. You need to quiz the person. Mm. Did you do that with your wife before you got married? Did you quiz her about her past relationships?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair game, don't you? Were you in a relationship that was long-term before, or what happened?
To turn that around, her mom quizzed me on my past relationships.
That's even better. The family right. gets involved.
But exactly.
Because that is a really specific red flag. If somebody is telling you, I went with somebody for 2 months, broke up, then another 2 months and broke up, you might begin to think this could be a commitment-phobic person. So pay attention to the person's history.
Well, number two is they're not willing to commit to dates or nights out in advance.
Those people that don't do that, they're one of these last-minute planners. Now, Norm and I have had this conversation multiple times that maybe millennials are just like that anyway. Isn't this true? He's listening and he's in the booth. Our kids would be always waiting to the last minute to commit to something, and I would ask, why are you doing that? And their standard answer was, something better might come along. I just thought that was not so good. They're checking their options, and so they don't make plans. But that would be a red flag.
Well, number three sign that someone may be commitment phobic, yes or no is difficult. Let's explain that.
So they keep hanging on. They keep you hanging on in terms of whether or not they're going to show up. Mm-hmm. They have difficulty saying yes to a party or a meeting unless this is, you know, strictly required of them to come.
Right.
So they kind of stay there and they say they might come to your party or they might come out that night and meet you, but they prefer not to say it with any kind of certainty.
Wow. The fourth sign, they use a lot of modifiers when speaking. Now, this is an English lesson, it sounds like.
It's kind of related to what we were saying.
Right.
If you listen real carefully, they'll use words like, well, probably I'll be there, or maybe I can make that, or I might not. And they use words like that, maybe, probably, I might. If asked when they'll be home from work, they won't say they'll be home by 5. Instead, they'll say something like, I'll probably be home at 5.
Right, leaving themselves a way out.
Yeah, yeah.
They're promiscuous in relationships.
So people with commitment phobia do have a need for intimacy, like everybody else, but their need is not getting met by being close to another person. So to compensate, they, a lot of times, are sexually active and are with other people, meaning that they were intimate, but they're not going to be committed to anything long term. Mm. So sometimes if someone has a promiscuous history or someone is acting promiscuous, of course, that's not a good sign any way you look at it, right?
Those who are commitment phobic also have very undefined relationships.
Yeah, so if you're in a relationship with someone who's commitment phobic, you most likely will not have any significant conversations with that person about where the relationship is going.
Right.
And that is a very, very frustrating thing. Now, if you do that too early in a relationship, sometimes that scares the person away. Mm. My husband's nodding because I did do that with him right. too early. Yeah. I just wanted to know where we stood.
Right.
But if you're in a relationship for a while and that conversation is never coming up, then I would say that person is commitment phobic.
And this person also has problems with the L word.
The L word. The love word?
Love word,
the
yeah.
love word. So they do have difficulty expressing their feelings if they're commitment phobic. They may even be afraid of having those feelings.
Right.
So they're likely not to say they love you and mean it.
And, of course, they have problems with words like boyfriend and girlfriend.
So that's part of that, too, just not establishing the status of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have lots of close friends, either.
They may know a lot of people, but if they don't have friends, and they don't call their friends, then they don't really have close friends, and you really want to pay attention to that. I think that's a huge red sign.
People who have trouble with commitment, who are commitment phobic, may also be unpredictable, and that sort of wraps all of this into one description.
Yeah, because you really don't know where they stand. You don't know really if they're in love with you, what kind of mood they're going to be in. One day they might be sweet. Sometimes they might look like they're going to make a move, and then the next day they might avoid you altogether. So their behavior just never ceases to surprise you.
It could be an adventure then.
Well, it could be if you like that kind of adventure.
That's right. Well, if you see the signs of commitment phobia and wonder what you can do about it, make a commitment right now to stay with us. More after the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good. And it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we're talking about a problem that affects a lot of people, commitment phobia. And before we jump back into our conversation about commitment phobia, just a reminder, make a commitment to check out Dr. Linda's blogs about relationships. Go to drlindamental.com for more help. And the easiest way to know what Dr. Linda is writing about is to follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. And Dr. Linda, before the break, we gave 10 signs of commitment phobia. I want to know, are those based on fear? Because here's an example. I bet if we polled the number of people who cohabitate and are not married, we would find a lot of fear of commitment.
I think a number of fears are at the root of commitment phobias. A lot of people have fear of having the relationship end, and like we talked about, not even seeing the signs of that coming up. Some people have the fear of not being in the right relationship. And I've worked with a lot of people where that's the case. They're always like, is this the right person for me? I'm not sure. Maybe there's somebody better out there that I should wait for. Sometimes it's the fear of having been in an unhealthy relationship. So people that have had bad relationships are a little bit afraid to commit because they think it's going to go the same way. Trust is an issue because of those past hurts that the person has experienced. Maybe they've had childhood trauma or abuse in their relationships, in their family relationships. Maybe they've had unmet childhood needs or what we call attachment issues, which is where they're not building a really good, secure feeling with their parents, and then that carries over to their adult relationships. I think sometimes just complicated family dynamics of divorce and chaos and instability, all of that plays into somebody going, I'm not sure I want to commit to someone and try.
Right. Well, these are very tangled issues, and you use the word complicated. I would think that the healing process for this takes time and intention.
That's exactly right, Chris, because being responsible for someone else, taking care of another person, is a big responsibility, and it does scare some people. But if you walk in that type of fear, you have to so tightly control everything, which can be exhausting, and it will most likely lead to missing out on that commitment of love and relationships, which can make a relationship so much better.
As we do this program, which age group specifically are we talking about? Are we talking about teenagers or young adults or just everyone?
I think you can have commitment phobia at any stage of your life. You can be a teenager who doesn't want to commit to a date or going out or meeting up with friends. But in that young adult, you know, era of maybe 18 to 24, maybe that's where it can really, if it has a childhood sort of stem to it, that may be where you really see it. And then again, if you're waiting around in your late 20s, early 30s, you're still having those problems, you probably need to go see somebody and talk to a counselor.
Seems like people can get catatonic.
Yeah.
Sort of stuck where
they're
are.
They're just kind of immobilized.
Right, and afraid to move forward because you may get hurt.
Right. That's the chance that you take because a relationship can hurt you, and you can't control the other person. But if you don't take a chance, you miss out on the joy of a committed relationship. And otherwise, you have this small and safe life that only you control.
So the key is to allow yourself to try again. Get up and do it again. Even though you may have been hurt in the past, you should face your fears.
You should. And I know that sounds hard for someone who's listening, who's been burned by a relationship that maybe you thought was committed. But if you don't try again, you risk losing that chance for a wonderful friend or a life partner.
Let's say someone has been in a relationship for 6 months. Or maybe even longer, and there's no talk about the future. Is it okay to bring up the subject of how far into the relationship we're going to go?
We kind of touched on this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but I do think after that much time has gone by that it is okay. Would you agree it's okay to bring it up after a six-month period?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Because you're wasting your time if you're going to spend that much time with somebody and it's going absolutely nowhere. So I know that when you bring up the question, sometimes it makes a person very anxious. And it may be that they are struggling with that, you don't really need to push the person,
right.
But I think it's perfectly okay to bring it up and say, where are we going with this relationship?
So when someone is commitment phobic, it's best to take things slowly.
It is good to slow it down, give the person some space to think about where this relationship is headed, but look for those markers that we talked about. And here's another one that I was just thinking about. If you're in a relationship for a very long time, has he ever taken you to meet his parents?
Mm.
Wasn't that kind of an indication that it was serious for you?
Yes.
If you don't bring the guy home, or the girl home
or
in your
girl,
case,
right.
Then it's probably not a good sign. And does he ever talk about the future with you? So if you don't hear your name inserted into the future, that isn't a good sign as well.
Right.
If you've been in a relationship for more than 2 years and it is not progressing to marriage, I would be very concerned unless there's some compelling reason, like the person is finishing medical school or they're waiting for a child to graduate or something like that.
How does someone with commitment phobia begin to change?
So first you have to identify the root or the reasons behind it. And you might need a Christian therapist to help you figure this out. But look at your original family unit, like we've talked about, for those clues, those early attachments, how safe and how stable you felt. You may have suffered child abuse or other trauma while growing up, and you may need to work on that before you can really get into a good, healthy relationship. And if you have some kind of unmet need, go into therapy and deal with that. There's no shame in doing that and trying to work with a Christian therapist. And then the next step is to really examine your own life history. Have you had a previous relationship you thought was going well and then suddenly ended without any kind of warning? You may have been in a previously abusive relationship. You may have experienced your own parents divorcing, like we talked about, while growing up, and now you're a little bit afraid. And then the third thing is, and this is something we always say, name the fear and then face it, like you said, Chris. Mm. You know, you might be afraid you're making the wrong choice. You might be with the wrong person, and you might be thinking, oh, goodness, is there somebody better, like we talked about out there. If you're afraid that you're going to lose your freedom, or some people are even afraid, I've heard this, they're afraid they're going to get into like a boring relationship if they stay committed. I'm sure it's never boring with you.
No,
and I don't think
not.
It's ever boring with Norm and I, but
doesn't
some people
be,
feel
no.
that it's going to be monotony
right.
if they stay into that relationship. So you've got to look at, what is the fear? I'm going to face that fear, and I'm going to deal with that head on.
Wouldn't it help to look at any areas in our own lives where we are commitment phobic?
It would. So what other places in your life cause you frequent stress or anxiety? If you see a pattern, you may wish to consider talking to a counselor and see how you can break that cycle. So maybe it is something like you can't even commit to a work meeting. Look at that part of your life. There are other areas in your life that you may be commitment phobic.
Well, let's give some examples. How about the person who is, let's say, renting an apartment in an area where they've lived for years and years? They've stayed there because the idea of owning property or being stuck somewhere is terrifying.
So that could be commitment phobia. Or maybe you may have dropped out of a training program for a job you wanted because you were afraid that that would narrow your options down the road.
True. Or you may struggle with staying in one job for a long period of time. Not having a track record of consistent employment may result in career difficulties or stagnation down the road.
In that case, I would suggest speaking to a career counselor to help you figure out your professional goals and develop a plan of action that might be useful in that situation. So basically what we're saying is you want to figure out what might make non-relationship commitment phobia easier for you to manage. So for example, you may feel more comfortable about buying a big ticket item after doing a lot of research on it. Or you may find rewarding yourself for sticking to a plan is the key for your consistency. So, for example, if you're staying in a job for 2 years, you might want to reward yourself with a cruise.
How long have we been doing this program now?
Yeah, we need a cruise.
Yeah, it's time to go on a cruise.
Time to reward ourselves for a cruise. Well, on that note.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Linda, let's take a quick break, but there's much more to come in terms of overcoming commitment phobia. Stay with us here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who he says he is, or he will do what he says he will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse his goodness, accept his grace, and walk in the confidence that he is in control and he's working all things for your good.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz, too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict-style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and just a reminder that Dr. Linda can be followed on social media. Go to her website, drlindamental.com, and there you will find books and blogs and so much more.
Let me say something about that, because I really would like people to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps or on Facebook. Now, when you go to Facebook, a lot of people will go to my personal page. So I really want to emphasize, go to my public page, which is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. But it is helpful because every week I blog two or three times a week, and you can see what the topic is, and you can follow that, and you might find something really interesting during the week.
And you can join in the conversation with others who have listened to the program.
That's right. Right.
Well, in case you just joined us, we're talking about commitment. And Dr. Linda, we've just mentioned that some people might want to get a Christian therapist and talk about the underlying fears that we've already mentioned. Going forward, what else can help?
So one of the things we haven't talked about is having realistic expectations. People go into relationships and think that it has to be perfect in order for it to work out. And that's really somebody who's really struggling with a lack of control in the relationship, because you and I both know relationships are not perfect. Is your relationship perfect?
Not by a long shot.
And my husband would say ours is definitely not perfect, but it works. And you have to recognize that people are going to let you down from time to time, but you have to contrast that with there are these wonderful times when you have a covenantal relationship with someone and a partner who is committed to you for life. You know, all couples and all people, even friends, argue.
Right.
From time to time. And there are times even with my friends where I go, oh, I don't want to see that person for a few weeks. You know, but we're still committed to each other and we still stay in that relationship. And a lot of times people have differences of opinions and they do things we don't like from time to time, but that's normal. So you got to know what's normal.
Well, many times a dating relationship, for example, starts off beautifully, but then you become disillusioned when things start to, the real stuff of life starts to take over.
Or you get to know the person a little bit better and you start thinking,
find out just exactly who they are.
But you're right. You have to kind of relax in that relationship and go, let me talk about that and let me work with that person and see if we can work it through rather than just run.
Well, that's part of what we mentioned earlier about sticking with it and moving forward and putting your nose to the grindstone and making it work.
I really do think that in this time in our culture, that a lot of people just run from relationships.
They
don't like what they see. They don't like what they're feeling at that moment. And they would just rather opt out rather than sticking with something. And what I fear is that you're going to lose somebody as a friend that really could have been a great friend.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about how family dynamics can steer someone as it relates to their relationships. I have a friend who had a terrible role model as parents, just a really nasty home life. And as he got older, he looked to TV for his cues to tell him how relationships should be. Is that a good idea?
I've had people who've told me that. Like they watch the Cosby
Show.
Yeah, that's one that comes to mind. Or the Brady Bunch, you know, as a way of thinking about what should your relationship look like. And I would say generally, that probably isn't the best dynamic because TV shows are quite dysfunctional if you think about them.
Right.
You don't really want to compare yourself to that. So look for healthy role models. Maybe look in your church and see if there are people in your church that have been committed for the long run. And again, look at them and say, what are they doing? How do they conduct themselves in that relationship? And I think it'd be really great for churches to have mentoring relationships like that with younger couples. Does our church do that? We don't have older couples mentoring younger couples, do we?
Well, we do have a Sunday school class called Bridge Builders.
And is that the idea?
Young families and taught by older married couples, yes.
I think that could work. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea.
Speaking of TV role models, I always wanted to be Michael J. Fox on Family Ties.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
Little conservative guy running around.
Yeah, there you go.
What about trying to stay in the present moment instead of worrying about what could go wrong in the future?
This is so helpful. If you really examine your relationship for what's happening right now, instead of the what if, which is a sign of anxiety, actually, how is the person with you right now versus how people have been with you in the past? So stick to the present.
I would guess that communication in this is key as well. This would go a long way to overcome commitment phobia.
You have to learn to talk through your fears like we've talked about, and that could correct your thinking and it could cement your relationship, especially if you have the Lord at the center of all of it. So if you're seeing commitment phobia in a relationship, you might say something like, hey, I really care about you, but I've noticed that the closer we get and the more in love with you I am, the more I feel like I want to push you away. This isn't because you're doing anything wrong. It's because I'm afraid. Wow. Now, would that make you anxious if you and I were dating and I said that to you?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
We couldn't continue the show, that's for sure.
Pretend, Chris, let's pretend.
Okay.
Or if you need the person to understand, you could say, I know this is probably upsetting you, but I hope you can understand where I think this is coming from. I'm afraid to rush into things after my previous relationship. Do you think you could help support me and help me be less afraid? And then you could go to the Lord and you could really pray about that if you see some hope in this relationship. And you could ask the Lord to give you discernment to see the problem for what it is instead of just staying in the fear.
How important is it for us to have an accurate view of what it means to enter into a covenant of marriage?
So this is one of the main problems I'm seeing today, because marriage is more than a contract. It's supposed to be this unbreakable promise that you make to the person for the long haul. Mm. And that means working through those difficulties whenever they come. So if we could understand how distorted intimacy has become in our culture and how it's not based on the biblical practice of covenant, this would go a long way to relieve commitment phobia. You would enter into a serious relationship with the expectation to make it work, not the expectation that you can get out of it when things go poorly.
Mm.
So if you or someone you know is dealing with commitment phobia, learn what it means to make a covenant with another person. Work through your fears and move forward with realistic expectations to deal with problems when they arise. But stay committed to the promise of your covenant. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our social media director and producer, Norm Intel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.